Jayoga Dhamadva Kunjabiyalim. Jayagada Madhava Kunjabiyali. Gopi Jana Valabha Kiri Vardari. Jaya Gopi Jana Valabha Kiri Vardari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyali. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyali. He Gopi Jana Valabha Giri Vardari. Gopi Jana Valabha Giri Vardari. Gopi Jana Valabha Giri Vardari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayam Vishnu Pad Param Sapavakachaya Sota Sata Asi Shimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Ganga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Namo Tamam Devin Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mutiyuadiyat. Before reciting Vishimad Bhagavatam, which is a very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, and to Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and to Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and to the author Srila Vyasadev. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from the third canto. I believe the title of the third canto is the status quo. And we are reading from chapter 15, 16, yeah. Hare Krishna. Ajay and Vijay curse by the sages. And we are on text 20. So it's a long verse, so we can do a word for word and translation in one straight line. Yam. Womb, Vai, certainly, Vibhuti, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, Upayati, waits upon, Anu Velam, occasionally, Aniyai, by others, Artha, material facility, RTB, by those who desire, Swashirasa, on their own heads, Drita, accepting, Pada, of the feet, Renu, the dust, Danya, by the devotees, Arpita, offered, angry, at your feet, Tulasi, of Tulasi leaves, Nava, fresh, Dama, on the garland, Damna, having a place, Lokam, the place, Madhuvratapate, of the king of the bees, Eva, like, Kamayana is anxious to secure. Yam vaiv bibuti rupayatya nuvela manier. Atarti biswa shirasadrita padarenu. Danyar pitangri tulasi navadama damno. Lokamadu vratapateri vakama yagna. Please chant. Yam vai vibhuti rupatya nuvela manya. Atar tibi swashira sadrita padarenu. Danya pitangri tulasi navadama damno. Lokamadu vatapateri vakamayana. Yam va vibhuti rupayudangalangamanya. The G's. Danya pitanga tulasina vadama kamyo. Lokam dhuva tapater iva kamayana. Lokam dhuva Translation. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, the dust of whose feet is worn on the head by others, waits upon you as appointed, for she is anxious to secure a place in the abode of the kings of bees, who hover on the fresh wreath of tulasi leaves offered at your feet by some blessed devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As previously described, tulasi has attained all superior qualities due to being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord. The comparison made here is very nice. As the king of bees over the tulasi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, so Lakshmi, the goddess who is sought by the demigods, Brahmans, Vaishnav, and everyone else, always engages in rendering service to the lotus feet of the Lord. The conclusion is that no one can be the benefactor of the Lord. Everyone is actually a servant of the Lord. Om Agyana Timirandasya, Gyana Jala Shala Kaya, Shakshu Unmilitandiena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisishya Shunyavadi Paschacharje Jatarine Pancha Kalpata Ubyacha Kripa Sindhu Ubyarevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very fascinating section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We get to hear and enter, if we choose to, into the Vaikuntha planet. There's not so many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam where we directly associate with the spiritual world. So that's very special in that way and fascinating. So we have that pastime when the Kumaras first they were traversing all the planetary system and entering into Vaikuntha and all those descriptions that we get to hear and visualize the beauty of everything in the Vaikuntha planet, the beauty of the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planet, the beauty of everything that's conscious in the Vaikuntha planet. And then we get to understand also that even in a Vaikuntha planet, there is interpersonal snag. They happen amongst devotees, isn't it? Sometimes there is such a thing. So in a Vaikuntha planet too, so when the four Kumara arrived at the seven gates of the Vaikuntha planet, they were stopped by Jai and Vijay, they were like, Atmavan Manyadik Jagat. They were seeing something in the four Kumaras that was really in their heart. And because of that, they stopped the Kumaras. And the Kumaras, they were really, really eager to see the Lord. And so they got angry because they were there was an obstacle for them in meeting the Lord. Lord Narayan, that they heard about the Lord from their father. The four Kumaras, very interesting because they had realized Brahman. They were Brahman realized. And they heard about the Lord. And since they heard about the Lord, they may not have been realized in Bhagavan realization. However, they wanted to be. And so they follow their heart to see the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, and they were stopped in that way. And what I found really interesting is the quality of association in the Vaikuntha planet. Even so, those interpersonal snag did happen. What we can observe is radical personal responsibility. And really, Krishna consciousness equal radical personal responsibility. The willingness to be responsible for everything. So as soon as Jai and Vijay understood that, they had cursed some very saintly people, right away, what did they do? They accepted responsibility. They accepted responsibility. I'm not finding it right now, somehow. But they accepted responsibility for their action. And all they prayed for, they accepted, yeah, we made a mistake here. And also, they accepted the punishment. They say, yes, we deserve to be punished. And then they pray. They pray that whatever punishment you give us, just make sure we don't forget the Lord. Because that's, for a devotee, that's the biggest fear. The biggest fear is to be put in a situation that is going to lead them to forgetfulness, to not remember that they are eternal servant of Krishna, to not remember to meditate on the Lord. So here we see the example, like personal responsibility. Yes, we made a mistake, and we accept the punishment. But please, please protect our devotional creeper. And then again, we see the same phenomena with the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, as soon as they saw the Lord, and as soon as they realized their anger, they went in the same place. This time, I hope I find the exact word, but they went in the same place, and that's quite extraordinary and so telling for us. So telling for us what to do when we are, you know, like offending each other, because we are offending each other. To think we are not, I think, is like trying to avoid reality versus accepting that reality and knowing how to deal with that reality. So the four Kumaras, after they realized, like, oh God, we became angry. We became angry and we cursed those innocent doorkeepers, servants of the Lord. And that wasn't very wise of us to do that. They say, oh Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life. So they accept that they may be punished. They accept that, yes, we made a mistake, we became angry, we cursed innocent servants, and so just, even if we go to the most hellish planet, just as long as our heart and mind are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. So again, we see that phenomena of accepting that I may be thrown in a very difficult situation due to my activities, and the prayer, the main prayer, is to please keep my mind focused on your lotus feet. And then the Lord go even further than that, because the Lord is always superior to his devotees. Even so, the Lord is subservient to his devotees. So that's a fascinating place, because when the Kumara express themselves and they glorify the Lord, and then the Lord starts speaking. And what he says to the Kumara is inconceivable, impossible for them to even conceive of, or to imagine, or to understand in any way. The Lord says, I'm sorry. He just says, I'm sorry. Just by the good fortune of my, you know, because of my devotees serve me, I'm admired and I'm served and all that. And he said, I am the one who offended you. I'm the one who offended you. And by punishing my servant, you are giving me a favor. How extraordinary is that? Like, already hearing the giant Vijay was quite inspiring. Hearing the four Kumara, even more inspiring, because they had good reason to be angry. You know, we so easily go into our victim story, but they didn't go there. So the four Kumara was already a little bit further than giant Vijay. And then the Lord, he had nothing to do with that situation in many ways. He was innocent, and he is willing to accept responsibility for everything. And it's fascinating, and something we can absorb, as the Lord wanted to indicate, like, okay, if we want to be a resident of the Vaikuntha planet, if we want to associate with the Lord, it's time for us to learn to that art of being willing to accept responsibility for everything, and that radical personal responsibility. So those three examples are very telling and part of this pastime. It's like transcendental competition. The Jai and Vijay apologize, and Kumara apologized, even so they didn't need to. And then the Lord apologized, even so he had nothing to do with it. So there is always a transcendental competition between the devotees and between the devotees and the Lord. And then in this verse, our verse, today's verse, we hear about the king of the bees. So bees, they are very well known to seek nectar. They're just everywhere. They want nectar. So we can imagine the imagery of the king of the bees is someone who is like superior expert at seeking and finding nectar, like so superiorly expert at finding nectar. And Lakshmi is desiring to reside in abode of that expert in finding nectar. And how does that expert find nectar? In hovering over the Tulasi garland that's offered by a blessed devotee. Again, there is such a panel of different relationships, and again, that transcendental competition. There is Lakshmi, there is the kings of bees, there is Tulasi Devi, and at the end, there is the blessed devotees. And with superior, it's like the story of Gopakuma, you know, like trying to find the best devotees. With the best devotees in all that. Lakshmi is desiring. She's so much desiring to be in the position of Vrindadevi. And Vrindadevi, she has that position. Why? Because she constantly meditates on the lotus feet of the Lord, on serving the lotus feet of the Lord. She's absorbed there, and because of that, everywhere we see the Lord, she is there. She is there because she never stopped dhanya, or meditation, on the lotus feet of the Lord, and she has achieved that very, very special prerogative of always be at the lotus feet of the Lord. And of course, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, she's also called Chanchala. Chanchala, she's like unsteady. She goes so many places. And we all desire her. We all desire her. But Narayan is not attached. He's not attached to her. He's just not. She's attached to him, but he's not attached to her. But we attach. We attach. Even like Srila Prabhupada said, the demigods are attached to Lakshmi Devi. The Brahmanas are attached to Lakshmi Devi. Vaishnavs, so surprising. And everyone else is attached to Lakshmi Devi. And unfortunately, if when we try to take Lakshmi Devi without Narayan, we don't want Narayan, we just want Lakshmi, then that leads us away from devotional service. That leads us away from the lotus feet of Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, Krishna, in the form of Lord Narayan and Vishnu. And he brings the six enemies, you know, envy, greed, envy, you know, like lust, lusty, we want more money or we want more things. And at the end, we get frustrated, so anger is coming because we don't have. And then the illusion that if I have more, like earlier Mother Mukhya was reading about, Srila Prabhupada was really funny. He was saying, like, if we have more technology, we'll be happier. So if we have more money, we'll be happier. That's illusion. And that, you know, that's what he does. If we go after Lakshmi, where those six enemies come, envy, greed, you know, pride, so much pride, like your net worth is equal to your self worth, isn't it? So prominent in American culture that the pride coming from having Lakshmi Devi. So Lakshmi Devi, though, she has done a lot of austerities. She has done a lot of austerity to achieve to be with Krishna. In fact, she wanted to be part of the Rasa dance. And I was discussing that with my roommate, Ananga Manjari Devi. And I was telling her that Lakshmi Devi did thousands of years of austerities to enter the Rasa dance. And she was never permitted. And she said, why? I said, we'll see. So Lord Chaitanya, he had he spoke about that question with Venkata Bhattacharya, like that exact question. Why? She, you know, for her, it wasn't unfaithful to her husband, because there is no difference between Lord Narayan and Lord Krishna. So for her to desire to be part of the Rasa dance, there is no offense there for the goddess Lakshmi. And then I'd like to read from it because it's really relishable. So let's see if I can get there. Okay. So he says, since Krishna and Narayan are the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna does not break a vow of chastity. Rather, it was in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. And the goddess of fortune considers that her vow of chastity will not be damaged by her relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, she could enjoy the benefit of the Rasa dance. That's what Goddess Lakshmi wanted. Venkata Bhat further explained, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is also an enjoyer of transcendental bliss. Therefore, if she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna, what fault is there? Why are you joking about this? Venkata Bhat is the father of Gopal Bhat Goswami, one of the six Goswami. And they were a Vaishnava family from the Sri Sampradaya. So they were worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And of course, in contact with Lord Chaitanya is full of Krishna Bhakti, Gopi Bhakti. And so Lord Chaitanya was laughing because even the goddess of fortune cannot achieve the Rasa dance. So Venkata Bhat just asked, why are you laughing about that? But can you tell me why the goddess of fortune Lakshmi could not enter the Rasa dance? The authorities of Vedic knowledge could enter the dance and associate with Krishna. I'm skipping. Having been asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why the goddess of fortune could not enter into the Rasa dance, whereas the authority of Vedic knowledge could, Venkata Bhat reply, I cannot enter into the mystery of this behavior. Venkata Bhat then admitted, I am an ordinary human being. Since my intelligence is very much limited and I am easily agitated, my mind cannot enter within a deep ocean of the pastimes of the Lord. Again, we have seen Jaya and Vijaya humility, and we saw the four Kumaras humility. So in order for us to receive knowledge and the knowledge of Krishna being revealed to us, we need to come to a place of accepting our limitation. And really accepting our limitation doesn't mean that we have low self-worth. It's just accepting the reality of our conditioning and our conditioned state, our state where we are at. Like Venkata Bhat, he knew how to worship Lakshmi Narayan, and he couldn't really get entrance into the mystery of why Goddess Lakshmi wasn't allowed in the Rasa dance. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna himself. You know the purpose of your activities, and the person who you enlighten can also understand your pastimes. The Lord replied, Lord Krishna has a special characteristic. He attracts everyone's hearts by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. By following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Vrajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's one hint here about Lakshmi Devi. There, someone may accept him as a son and sometimes bind him to a grinding mortar. someone else may accept him as an intimate friend and attaining victory over him, playfully mount on his shoulders. The inhabitants of Vrajabhumi know Krishna as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the king of Vrajabhumi, and they consider that they can have no relationship with the Lord in the rasa of opulence. I'm going to go forward because of timing. The authority in the Vedic literature, who are known as the Shrutagana, worship Lord Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis and followed in their footsteps. The personified authorities on the Vedic hymns acquired body like those of the gopis and took birth in Vrajabhumi. In those bodies, they were allowed to enter into the Lord's Rasa Lila dance. So that's a point that Lord Chaitanya is going to make, that in order to enter into those special pastime, we need to acquire the same bodies of the inhabitant of Raja, and in that situation, the gopis. Krishna belonged to the cowherd community, and the gopis are the dearmost lovers of Krishna. Also, the wife of the denizen of the heavenly planet are most opulent within the material world. Neither they nor any other woman in the material universe can acquire Krishna's association. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, wanted to enjoy Krishna and at the same time retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi. However, she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. So Das Anudas, the goddess Lakshmi, she wanted to keep her prestige, her position as goddess Lakshmi, and because she wanted to enter the rasa dance without giving up that form, that's why she was not allowed. Vyasadev, the supreme authority on Vedic literature, composed the verse beginning Nyayam Sukhapo Bhagavan, because no one can enter into the rasa lila dance in anybody other than that of a gopi. Before this explanation was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Venkatabhad thought that Sri Narayan was the supreme personality of Godhead. Thinking in this way, Venkatabhad believed that the worship of Narayan was a supreme form of worship, superior to all other processes of devotional service, for it was followed by Sri Vaishnava, disciple of Ramanuja Acharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had understood this misconception of Venkatabhad, and to correct in the Lord's talk so much in a joking way. And that's really nice because the Lord will explain. Lord Narayana, the opulent form of Krishna, attracts the mind of the goddess of fortune and her followers. Because Krishna has four extraordinary qualities not possessed by Lord Narayana, the goddess of fortune Lakshmi always desires his company. You have recited the shloka. That very verse is evident as Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So basically, Lord Chaitanya explained that Lord Narayan attracts Lakshmi, and the gopis are not attracted by Lord Narayan. And there is a pastime, of course, in Krishna book. So I shared this because here we have the yearning of the goddess of fortune to take an abode among the king of the bees, those who are like really seeking the real nectar. And the real nectar is relished by Tulasi Devi and the blessed devotee who offered Tulasi Devi at the lotus feet of the Lord. And interestingly, after Lord Chaitanya describes the difference between Lord Narayana and Krishna, at the end, to kind of pacify the heart of Venkatabhad, he said, in fact, there is no difference. So it's Achintya Beda Beda Tadva, Lord Chaitanya said. There is no difference. So for us, To hear about the Vaikuntha planet is completely extraordinary. To hear about Lord Narayan having such superior humility and ability for radical responsibility is purifying. For us to focus on those pastimes, as Lord Chaitanya said, the qualities that Lord Narayan is manifesting in those pastimes are qualities of Lord Krishna that he manifests through Lord Narayan. And so in the spiritual world, there is always everything is good, and then there is some things that could be better, and then there is the best. The best is the worship of the gopis. And the worship of the gopis is so much in the wake of what Srila Prabhupada is speaking about here. So we have all those devotees who want to be serving the Lord in a way the other one is serving. And that is the way of Vaishnava life, Das Anudas, is to serve, to always be in service to the devotees. And that doesn't mean that we don't play a role. Sometimes we may confuse service and role, and that's not the same. We may have a role of a temple president, for example, and that doesn't mean that we have master, we are servant, or we have a role of sweeping the temple room, and in that also we are not the master of anyone, we have servant, or we may take care of preaching, and I like that in preaching. We are not master either, we are servants. We are serving the people in the world, the people in the street, the people who are suffering in the material energies, people who are completely beaten constantly and tossed around by the ocean. We are serving them, we are servants of the servants. They are all spirit soul, they are all eternal servants of Krishna. And we are serving them by bringing to them the knowledge, the tiding of the holy name, in the marketplace of the holy name. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who developed the Namahat system, he was considering himself as a sweeper, the sweeper of the marketplace of the holy name. So in that attitude of servant, then we see everybody else as Prabhu and as master. And in that, then all our interpersonal snag can dissipate very quickly, like with Jayan Vijay or the Kumara. And then, of course, we can also follow in the footsteps of Lord Narayan to be able to be responsible for everything, even something we have nothing to do with, to like, oh, it must be me, but not in a self-deprecating way. The devotee is not self-deprecating. That's not what it is. It's like truly feel like, yeah, like me being here today created that difference between those two devotees. And the Lord is so humble that he says he's ready to cut his limb for his devotee. That's quite unbelievable. So if we want to serve the Lord, we serve the devotees. I'm going to read the verse again. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, the dust of whose feet is worn on the head by others, wait upon you as appointed. For she is anxious to secure a place in the abode of the king of bees, who hovers on the fresh breath of tulasi leaves, offered at your feet by some blessed devotee. Hare Krishna, thank you, dear devotees. I'm eager to hear your comments, questions, criticism. Hare Krishna, Babu.
So Lakshmi was performing great austerities and really wanted to be participant in the Rasa Leela. In the mood of Lord Chaitanya is, you know, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I'm just wondering what kind of austerities and sacrifices was she performing that she couldn't get that kind of darshan? Couldn't she just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Or is it a mental state of mind that maybe she was holding on to her Aishwarya mood to serve? But then if she sees that the gopis are doing something different, she's very intelligent, she could have adopted that method instead of not having that darshan. And it's just a question.
It's just a question.
Maybe you can give us some kind of enlightenment.
It's a beautiful question. I asked myself the same. What kind of austerity did she do? And in a way, it is. So Lord Chaitanya kind of respond, and again, I don't know, but Lord Chaitanya kind of respond, like she maintained an attachment to her being Lakshmi Devi. She was not able to let go of that attachment to be Lakshmi Devi. She wanted to enter the Rasa dance as Lakshmi Devi, and only devotees in the form of gopis can enter the Rasa dance. So that's what I understand from Lord Chaitanya. And, you know, also there is a word in this very verse that I was curious about, because Srila Prabhupada said, as appointed. So it's also our service. You know, it's not that the inhabitant of Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha Vasis, that they all belong to Goloka Vrindavan. Someone can be very well situated in their position, in their forearm form, serving the lotus feet of a Vishu form in the Vaikuntha planet. So she's appointed for that service of being Lakshmi Devi. So I think we can look at from so many different angles. And of course, for our mind, it's inconceivable, so we don't want to also pretend we understand. But from, you know, from what we can read here and there, it's kind of, there is many reasons, like not only one, that one described by Lord Chaitanya, one that's, you know, as appointed, she's appointed, that's her position, that's where she belongs, that's her service to be Lakshmi Devi. And and the chanting of the Hare Krishna Ma mantra. What will you say, Prabhu?
Yeah, I guess she's showing her that, you know, even we cannot hold on to that idea of, as you mentioned, being Lakshmi Devi, and in the Rasa Leela, that there's only by full surrender and the mood of the gopis, and we're fortunate that we can chant Hare Krishna, get in that mood. Are you in the mood of the gopis? Yeah, Shesha is in the mood of the gopis, so we're okay. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, definitely. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Mozaragatmika, and after Mozamarumati. Madumati is the king of bees.
I really appreciate your bringing out the theme of radical personal responsibility. No one has brought that up out of this. I mean, in that way, as opposed to assuming the victim mentality. And I was thinking, where else in the Bhagavatam, where in the Bhagavatam do we see someone who is not taking full responsibility mm-hmm. for the situation they find themselves in? And the only one that came to my mind was Dhruva.
Dhruva. At the beginning.
Pardon me?
At the beginning, Dhruva, yeah?
In the beginning, of mm-hmm. course. Oh, yeah. But even that, his mother, Suniti. His mother corrected him, not so much corrected him, but diverted him a bit to go find a solution by going to the Lord, mm-hmm. you know. But yet, he wasn't transformed yet. Only until the Lord himself appeared, of course. But it's such an important theme. Mm-hmm. It's a cause of so much suffering in one's life, in one's devotional life, when we can't take full responsibility for whatever situation befalls us. You know, mm-hmm. it's so important. Thank you for shedding light on that mm-hmm. theme. Thank you.
Yeah, sometimes we do, we are running a virtual ashram, woman, right, virtual ashram, and we do a lot of reading. And sometimes I found myself saying Krishna consciousness means radical responsibility. Like, it means like coming to that platform, and unless we come to that platform, as long as we are, Prabhupada uses a term that I really like, is a victim of prakriti. So as long as we see ourselves as victim of prakriti, that's Prabhupada used those terms, victim of prakriti. So as long as we see ourselves as victim of Prakriti, it's going to be very, very difficult to make any advancement. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Mother Ragatmika. Mother Manumati? Madhumati, the king of bee, the nectar.
So as far as Panchagora Prabhu's question, I was thinking that, you know, there's such a big difference between a queen, goddess of fortune, and a village girl. It's a huge difference. A huge difference in every sense of the dressing, the things, what they do, you know, working with cow dung, and, you know, milking the cows, and oh mm-hmm. my God, you know, and she's the queen, and she sits on a throne, and she, you know, I mean, so there's a big, big difference in the whole thing is a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really lowering yourself, you know.
So no matter, much.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just one thought. I would like to hear from you more, something more about, and you have explained, but this aspect of Lord Vishnu, how he acted as he had a responsibility in one sense because these are his servants. So in one sense, yes, he has full responsibility on what his servants have done, and that's what he says. But we find ourselves, at least we think we find ourselves in situations where we feel like, well, it's I didn't do anything wrong, that was not my intention, what, you know, and yet this other person feels like, you know, the perception is, you know, you're at fault and you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So how does this this concept of radical responsibility, could you say something more about when you're, like in this sense, Vishnu is at fault in some sense because he's the master.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever your dependent is, not that he's at fault, but he takes the responsibility because he's the...
It's his servants.
He's mm-hmm. a servant, just like a parent would take responsibility for their children, you know,
mm-hmm.
if they do something wrong, and although they're innocent and they do something wrong, that, you know, the parent takes responsibility. But yet you're right, it's not his responsibility, you know, he's not at fault. You
and
know.
He goes so far too in accepting
his,
responsibility.
Yeah.
He goes, you know, he goes, okay, my servant, I can see I didn't train them well. But
yeah.
he goes
so far.
Like,
yeah. like
you
like
know,
extreme.
Like you saving me by cursing them. Yeah. So your question, it seems, thank you about the Lakshmi Devi. For her to degrade herself, to deal with cows and cow dung and milk cows and be subservient to that degree and live in the dirt. that's a difficult one. That's a big step. And you know, there is a Air Panchami pastime. That's such a funny pastime. after Ratha Yatra, when Goddess Lakshmi go to the Gaudiya temple to get back her husband, she's just there and she doesn't want to come down to Vrindavan. In reality, she wants that, but she doesn't want it at the same time. So to respond to your question. Yeah, it's happened to me a lot, and it's happened to all of us. Sometimes people are angry with us, criticize us, judge us, and if we are really looking at our conscience, like, I didn't do what they say I've done, or it's not me. I can see it's not me. And I know that it reminds me of the pastime I shared once, during the, it was the appearance day of Shiva's Thakur. And if you remember Shiva's Thakur, how he responded to that, he was accused of worshipping Kali. And all the paraphernalia of worshipping the goddess Kali were put in front of his door. And he had nothing to do with it. And still, he accepted radical responsibility, personal responsibility. Yes, I did that. I put those paraphernalia, and I, last night, after Lord Chaitanya left, after the kirtan was over, I was hiding, and in fact, that's what I've been doing. So, you know, not that we want to imitate a devotee. We don't want to imitate Srivas Thakur, of course, is an exalted, pure devotee, a member of the Panchatattva. He's part of Krishna, you know, Lord Chaitanya in five features. At the same time, what I found is anything, anywhere I will go, it's going to be in protection to my false ego. And really, the goal of Krishna consciousness is not to protect my false ego. And the more I try, the more entangling it is, and the more I suffer, and I don't like suffering. So, I to really see, okay, how do I want to respond in that situation in a way that's conducive for my devotional life, to really have ekihaku nandana, to be one-pointed attention, like that situation where it's temporary. It's, you know, it's temporary, it's a snag, interpersonal, like that. But what is it in this situation that is going to help me crush my false ego, like instead of feeding it or protecting it? And in, like, okay, there is also, of course, communication skills that may be helpful to really acknowledge what the person is saying. And I found that when I do that, I kind of can often can find something within myself that is true. If I allow myself to listen to the other person without reacting with false ego, if I'm allowing myself to hear what they have to say, I usually can find something within my energy, within my consciousness, within my action that does maybe doesn't deserve maybe that intensity or that response from the other, but that do make sense. And so by going there, even if it's a drop of something I find within my consciousness, I can, you know, like reestablish relationship like Jai and Vijay with the Kumara. We can imagine them hugging and kissing or whatever, like serving each other, because the Kumara were so sorry for what they did to Jai and Vijay. And Jai and Vijay were so sorry for what they did. And so for us to come to that place, to be able to like, okay, let me find, if I'm willing to be responsible to for everything, what is it in my consciousness, my energy, sometimes like, okay, let's say I'm very absorbed in my own world, self-absorbed. And then someone may feel like, wow, she's so cold and friendly and, you know, she, whatever, you know, like feeling angry that maybe I didn't acknowledge them or something like that. And they may be very angry, like, you were disrespectful to me. I can hear, yeah, you feel really disrespected by me. And I can see how at that moment I was really self-absorbed. I was in my own world and I was oblivious to you being around. And it makes sense that you will feel that way. And that's over, finished. And then we understand each other. We were in our own world of illusion and delusion and reactive and like that. Did I respond to your question? Hare Krishna. Granthura Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.